Hello, everybody. I'm Eric Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this edition of the program, we'll preview Week 16's most important games in the National Football League, including to look at the Christmas Day games and so much more. So it's going to be a fun show. So sit back, relax, and enjoy it. And on behalf of each and every one of us, I'd like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. All right, now it's time for my top three storylines. I want to start off talking about the Dallas Cowboys. After Dallas lost last week to the Buffalo Bills, all-world defensive end Micah Parsons got on his podcast and started saying that there were people out there that were rooting for the Dallas Cowboys to lose. No one wanted the Cowboys to succeed. And let me just be the first to say that. I'll say this just for a moment. I want to take a deep dive for a moment into the Dallas Cowboys. There are three professional sports organizations that are immensely popular, not just nationwide, but worldwide, and they generate a lot of money: the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Yankees, and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Those three teams are highly celebrated, but those three teams are also highly polarized as well. And the Dallas Cowboys, they're one of those three professional sports franchises. When the Cowboys are winning, it's big business. When they're losing, it's also big business. And it sounds like from when Micah Parsons made those comments, I don't think he realized what he was getting himself into. Think about this. As I stated earlier, you're playing for a professional sports organization that is worth a ton of money. That's number one. Number two, you have a franchise that has been scrutinized for decades. That's number two. Number three, you're playing for an owner who has a major ego and who has not only several radio shows, but also does post-game interviews after every game. So evidently, Micah Parsons did not get the memo when he got drafted to the Dallas Cowboys. It comes with the territory when you're playing for such a franchise that when they win, as I stated earlier, it's great for business. When they're losing, it's great for business. But bottom line is this: Dallas lost last week to the Buffalo Bills, and there's questions about the Cowboys. Is Dak really the one that could win an MVP this year? Then Micah goes on his podcast saying that people want Dallas to fail. They cheer for them when they're losing. It's just a whole bunch of stuff going on with the Cowboys. When is it there not a dull moment with the Dallas Cowboys? I mean, it's the soap opera that never ends, right? But bottom line is this: Micah, if you didn't get the memo, here's the memo. When you got drafted to the Dallas Cowboys, you knew what this was going to be. You knew you were dealing with a franchise that the expectations are so high every year. You knew that you were going to be dealing with an owner that has a huge ego. And as I stated earlier, not only has several radio shows in the Dallas area, but also does post-game interviews after every game. When you had that star on your helmet, you're going to be polarized. You're going to be watched every step. Every little step you take, every little move you make, everybody's going to be watching you. And when you have that star on your helmet representing the Dallas Cowboys, the target is going to be always be on your back, no matter the circumstances. And hey, it's the way it is, and it comes with the territory when you're playing for a franchise like the Dallas Cowboys. My next storyline is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles. You talk about a fall from grace so far. Philadelphia, as this show is airing, has lost three games in a row. They've lost to San Francisco. They went to Dallas, lost to Dallas, and then last Monday night, losing to the Seattle Seahawks. Jalen Hurts had an illness, wasn't at his best, did the best that he could, but the Eagles, they just didn't have enough. They let the Seahawks come back and beat them 20-17. At the end of the game in the Eagles post-game press conference, Jalen Hurts, their all-world quarterback, he said that he doesn't feel that the team is committed enough. And I don't know. It sounds like he's taking shots at his team. They're not committed enough. I don't know. Hey, listen, they started off the year 10-1 before the San Francisco loss. And since losing to the 49ers, losing to the Cowboys, and then losing recently last Monday night to the Seattle Seahawks, that commitment is gone. Do you think the lack of commitment could be from Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon leaving the team? Shane Steichen was the offensive coordinator last year. Now, Brian Johnson is the offensive coordinator this year. Then you have Jonathan Gannon, who was the defensive coordinator for the team last year. This year, the defense, totally different, and not in a good way neither. Sean Desai was the play caller, and then the decision was made by head coach Nick Sirianni that Desai had those duties removed from him, and Matt Patricia became the defensive play caller for the Monday night game. We saw how that turned out, right? Bottom line is this: the Eagles are a much different team this year than they were last year. And yeah, that's also due to Steichen and Gannon. They were both key factors on that Super Bowl team last year, the team that won the NFC Championship. This year, Steichen is the head coach with the Indianapolis Colts. Jonathan Gannon, he's the head coach with the Arizona Cardinals. So a lot has changed, and we're seeing those changes, and it's not for the better. The offensive play calling has been stagnant. There's not enough throwing the ball down the field. There's not enough of an emphasis on the running game. We know that the tush push, aka the brotherly shove, that's a dominant play that still has yet to be stopped, but they're going to have to spice up the playbook a little bit. It's just, things are just so different this year with the Philadelphia Eagles, and not in a good way. But if there's any silver lining in this, is that the Eagles have a chance to still win the NFC East, and they have an opportunity to get a first round bye. And host a first round playoff game. But this is so interesting because the Eagles are just a different team this year. Just, they look out of sorts. And again, like I said before, it's due to, I think some of that's due to Steichen and Gannon not being there anymore. But also, too, the play calling is not there offensively. Defensively, they're not making any plays. Howie Roseman, the general manager, pulled off a lot of big moves at the draft last year, in the draft this year, got key players, but those key players haven't been making key plays. Also, injuries have derailed this team as well. So the Eagles, despite being a different team this year, they still have an opportunity to get it together. They have an opportunity to host a playoff game and an opportunity to get a home game. And, you know, they have an opportunity to win the NFC East. Strength of schedule: the last three games are very favorable for the Eagles. At home against the Giants, then at home against Arizona, and then the last game of the year at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, against the Giants. So this is for the taking, but in the NFL, you just never know. And for my last storyline is going to be the NFL International Series. So we've got the NFL International Series. The games have been solid. The games have been brilliant since they've introduced the International Series. They had the Mexico games for a while. We don't know if Mexico is going to have the NFL International Series games there again. Maybe they'll get more games in the near future. But consistently, we've seen London and we've seen Germany have their share of some solid games as a part of the NFL International Series. Well, guess what? You can add another city, Sao Paulo in Brazil. Yeah, starting next year, the NFL will have an International Series game in Brazil, in Sao Paulo, to be exact. When you think of Brazil, you think of Rio de Janeiro, but you also think of a city that's very busy and very vibrant, and the economy there is vibrant in that country of Brazil, and Sao Paulo is going to get in the mix as they'll host an NFL international game in 2024. So as I stated earlier, Mexico, they had their share of games for several years, but lately, since the International Series has started, London and Germany have always been in the mix, have been consistent in terms of hosting these international games. Well, now in 2024, Sao Paulo in Brazil will host an NFL International Series game. And we know how international the NBA is. We know how international Major League Baseball and NHL is. But the NFL is continuing to grow and expand its global mark. So this will be good for Brazilians. Of course, Brazilians, you know, they love their soccer and they love their NBA. And of course, they love Major League Baseball. But now they're going to get into the mix of the NFL as they will host an NFL International Series game in 2024 in Sao Paulo, Brazil. All right, now it's time to preview Week 16's most important games in the NFL. Thursday Night Football, we have the New Orleans Saints going up against the Los Angeles Rams. First off, for the Saints, they demolished the New York Giants last Sunday at the Caesar Superdome in New Orleans. Tommy DeVito and the New York Giants, they had no answers for the Saints defense. DeVito was sacked 7 times. Derek Carr played a decent game. Alvin Kamara did his thing on the running side as well, running and the receiving side as well. So the Saints, it's been an up and down year for them, trying to find their way. A lot of Saints fans still calling for Dennis Allen to be fired. They're also calling for offensive coordinator Pete Carmichael to be fired. However, the Saints have a chance to possibly win the NFC South. They still have a chance and could host a home wild card playoff game. But they're going to have a tough task ahead of them as they head to the West Coast in Inglewood, California at SoFi Stadium to take on the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams have been red hot as of late. And there's a saying that goes that it's not about how you start. It's all about how you finish. The Rams have won their last 4 out of 5 games. Matthew Stafford has been efficient. He has really been consistent. How about the rookie wide receiver, Puka Nacua? How about Cooper Kupp? He's been solid since coming back from injury. How about Kyren Williams running the ball? The Rams, Sean McVay, the head coach, listen, you know about McVay, you know about the Rams and what they do, especially on the offensive side. Lately, winning their last 4 out of 5 games, they have been unstoppable and then some. So this is going to be an interesting matchup for the Los Angeles Rams as the New Orleans Saints come to SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California. I know I'm dating myself a little bit, but if you remember the Saints-Rams rivalry games back when they had the original NFC West, when you think of names like Bobby Hebert, Eric Martin, also Jim Everett, Flipper Anderson, Henry Ellard, just to name a few, Dalton Hilliard, the Dawn Patrol, those are such great memories of that rivalry between the 80s and really much of the 90s as well. But now Saints-Rams, we've got Derek Carr, we've got Alvin Kamara, we've got Matthew Stafford, we've got Kyren Williams, we also have Juwan Johnson, we got Cooper Kupp, we've got Puka Nacua. Oh, and how could you forget about Aaron Donald, somebody who's still a force to be reckoned with on the defensive side. So Thursday Night Football, a very, very important game for both teams, specifically for the Saints, because they still have a solid chance to win the NFC South. As for the Rams, they're in the hunt and they're doing what they have to do to keep their playoff hopes alive. So the Saints and the Rams, it should be a good one between the Saints and the Rams in Inglewood, California at SoFi Stadium. The Cincinnati Bengals square off against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, this is a rivalry game in the AFC North between the Bengals and the Steelers. How about Jake Browning? Listen, since Joe Burrow went down with that season-ending injury against the Baltimore Ravens on Thursday night, Jake Browning has come in and has done his part. The Monday night game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, impressive performance from him. Bengals win in overtime. And then the Bengals, after that game, the Bengals would go on to beat the Indianapolis Colts in convincing fashion, and then last Saturday beating the Minnesota Vikings in overtime 27-24. So what it looks to Bengals fans as if it was a lost season, actuality, it's not a lost season. It's a season where the Bengals still have an opportunity to grab a wild card spot, and the Bengals are going to be going up against their longtime rival Pittsburgh Steelers. If the Bengals have found life at the quarterback position with Jake Browning, they have been drowning in deep waters, not just at the quarterback position, but on the offensive side. Kenny Pickett, ankle injury. They haven't ruled him out, but we've seen what's gone on with Mitchell Trubisky. That hasn't worked out, so Mason Rudolph is going to get the start. And no matter who's been the quarterback, the Steelers' offense can't catch anything when it comes to being on the offensive side. Heck, they can't even catch a cold if their life depended on it, but Najee Harris, you know, he's been off and on, up and down this year. Jaylen Warren has shown signs of brilliance in the running attack. George Pickens, he's been upset most of the year because he's not getting enough touches. Deontay Johnson has been injured. So the Steelers offense, They haven't found their way this year defensively. They've been hurt. Mike Tomlin, there's questions about him. Ben Roethlisberger went on a radio show during the week and saying that there may need to be a change at the head coaching position. I think with somebody like Mike Tomlin, he needs to make that decision if he wants to remain in Pittsburgh or not. But certainly has been drama really much of the week in Pittsburgh. And the Steelers lost a tough game last Saturday, to be exact, to the Indianapolis Colts. So this is going to be a game where the Bengals have a real shot at getting a playoff spot. The Steelers are just trying to stay alive in the hunt. And this is going to be a dogfight in the AFC North between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. We have the Buffalo Bills going up against the Los Angeles Chargers. First for the Bills. The Bills really found life again, dismantling the Dallas Cowboys last Sunday. Josh Allen, numbers-wise, he didn't have the great numbers, but hey, guess what? He was doing his thing, throwing a touchdown pass, also making contributions with his legs. How about James Cook? James Cook was really good last week against the Cowboys. The defense had no answers for him. James just had his way in the running department. So you had the Bills beating Dallas last week, and then the week before that pulled off an impressive win over the Kansas City Chiefs. So Buffalo, they're starting to get hot at the right time. Buffalo is starting to find their way. And listen, Buffalo, they've had their challenges this year, but that's a team nobody wants to play in the playoffs because you want to get hot at the right time. And Buffalo is starting to get hot at the right time. We go from being hot at the right time to being cold at the wrong time. The Los Angeles Chargers. So the Chargers embarrassed last Thursday night by the Las Vegas Raiders. The Chargers, I mean, then you got hit with the fact that Justin Herbert is out for the year with a finger injury. So the Chargers, they lost to the Raiders last Thursday night. The week before that, losing to the Denver Broncos. The Chargers, I mean, yeah, the week before that, yeah, they won 6-0 over the New England Patriots. But the Chargers have just been a disappointment. And it's been so disappointing that during the week, head coach Brandon Staley was fired along with general manager Tom Telesco. So taking Staley's place as the interim head coach is Giff Smith, who is also the linebackers coach for the team. And JoJo Wooden will be the interim general manager, and he's also the director of player personnel. So the Chargers, all sorts of challenges that they've had to endure, and you lose your all-world quarterback with Justin Herbert, and then your head coach and your GM is fired. I mean, the Chargers, you look at this roster, they are so talented. Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Derwin James Jr. You also have Asante Samuel Jr. You've got some guys on your team. These are not any scrubs. These guys are talented players, and the one thing that's going to get the Chargers over the hump is going to be a new head coach, whoever that person may be. Also, you got Eric Hendricks, who's solid as well, and you got Kenneth Murray, who's effective as well. So the Chargers going through have had to endure a lot over the week, and it doesn't get any better as the Bills visit the Chargers at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California. We have the Cleveland Browns going up against the Houston Texans. I want to start off with Houston for a moment. Houston pulled off an impressive win in overtime last week to the Tennessee Titans. CJ Stroud was hurt the week before against the New York Jets. He will not play in this game due to a concussion. So Case Keenum is going to get the start again for this game coming up against the Cleveland Browns. For Cleveland, how about the quarterback, Joe Flacco? I mean, Joe Flacco, he's definitely got my vote for comeback player of the year this year, pulling off an impressive comeback victory over the Chicago Bears. Then the week before that, they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Joe Flacco has come in and has made his mark. We talked about the situation with another Ohio team in Cincinnati with Jake Browning, Joe Burrow, Cleveland, Joe Flacco, Deshaun Watson. Watson's done for the year, but Joe Flacco comes in and has really, well, listen, we know how talented Joe Flacco is, a Super Bowl MVP with the Baltimore Ravens, putting up monster numbers. We know about the arm strength. We know about his pocket presence. And The Browns are going to head down to Houston, and certainly they've got everything in their advantage. Joe Flacco, Amari Cooper's playing well. You've got also the Cleveland's running game is solid as well. How about the tight end position with David Njoku? He is not to be played with. He is a monster, and he's been balling as of late. And Cleveland's defense has been solid as well. So we got a good one down in H-Town between the Cleveland Browns and the Houston Texans. We have the Indianapolis Colts going up against the Atlanta Falcons. First for the Falcons, tough loss last week to their division rival in the NFC South, the Carolina Panthers. So head coach Arthur Smith making changes at the quarterback position. Desmond Ridder got the start last week. It looks as though Taylor Heineke is going to get the start. As for the Colts, big win over the Pittsburgh Steelers that keeps their playoff hopes alive as well. So with the Indianapolis Colts, you've got Gardner Minshew that can, when he's given his time, when the pass protection is on point, he can put up some monster numbers. Also, with the Colts, they say that Jonathan Taylor is expected to play in this game. The Colts defense has been solid as well, but how about other players on the offensive side? Mo Alie-Cox. You got a ton of solid receivers on your roster. Michael Pittman Jr. Now, Michael Pittman Jr. took a nasty hit from Steelers cornerback Demonte Casey in last week's game, but you still can't sleep on him because he's expected to play in this game against the Atlanta Falcons. So we got a really good game. We've got the Falcons that still have an opportunity to win the NFC South. The Indianapolis Colts, they're still in the hunt for the playoffs. And certainly this is going to be a dogfight down in the ATL between the Indianapolis Colts and the Atlanta Falcons. The Seattle Seahawks will go up against the Tennessee Titans. For Seattle, big win last Monday night over the Philadelphia Eagles. Drew Lock had the game of his life so far in his young and short NFL career. And Drew Lock, listen, solid NFL player. Some people compare him to a Jay Cutler. It remains to be seen, but the bottom line is this. So far, he had the game of his life in his short NFL career. So the Seahawks, Kenneth Walker III, he balled out of control. He went ballistic on that Eagle defense. The receivers were good for Seattle, Jackson Smith and Jigba. DK Metcalf got his towards the end of the game. Tyler Lockett was effective. And how about the Seahawks defense, specifically Julian Love? Julian Love played one heck of a game last Monday night in the win over the Philadelphia Eagles. Bobby Wagner is still productive. He's still a tackling machine, one of the best linebackers in the business. And they're going up against a Tennessee Titans team that is still in the hunt, but their playoff chances are looking very slim. The Titans lost a tough one in overtime last week to the Texans. The week before that, they had a come-from-behind victory beating the Miami Dolphins on Monday night. But the Titans have a lot of issues right now. Will Levis, Derrick Henry, what's the future holding for him up out there in Nashville? We don't know what's going to happen with the Titans. But Seattle comes to town, and Seattle's riding a high right now. Seattle has an opportunity to get a playoff spot, possibly. Seattle is a team that you do not want to play late November going into January. And if you get them in the playoffs, get them a wild card spot, it's danger. And we see that we are seeing that happen. We've seen this happen before. We are seeing it right now, and it continues to happen for the Seahawks. Geno Smith could be playing in this game. We'll have to find out what happens with that. But the bottom line is it should be a good one in Music City, USA, and Nashville between the Seattle Seahawks and the Tennessee Titans. NFC North rivals will meet up with the Detroit Lions going up against the Minnesota Vikings. First for Detroit. Detroit, you know what their MO is all about, right? Jared Goff, Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Reynolds, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery. And guess what? The Lions just cut a rug on the Denver Broncos last Saturday night. Everybody was clicking on all cylinders from the offense to the defensive side. So the Lions handled their business, no problems. Dan Campbell, he's got his team back on track. And they're going to be going up against the Minnesota Vikings, a team that lost a tough one in overtime last week to the Cincinnati Bengals. The week before that, they beat the Las Vegas Raiders 3-0. So the Vikings have issues at the quarterback position. Nick Mullins will remain the starting quarterback. Justin Jefferson came back in the game against the Cincinnati Bengals. He was solid, but they're going to need more. They're going to need more because they're going to be going up against a team that most likely is going to win the NFC North, and they are just balling on both sides of the ball. And the Vikings, again, they're still in the hunt. They are still in the hunt. They're fighting for their playoff lives right now. And again, at the quarterback position, Nick Mullins, he's going to have to go in a shootout against Jared Goff, because we know Detroit doesn't mind throwing the ball, right? We've seen it all season long. Minnesota may have to do that in order to take down their division rival. So it's going to be a good one in Minneapolis between the Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings. The Jacksonville Jaguars go up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we have the Battle of Florida. We have North Florida going up against South Florida. And far as the Jaguars are concerned, listen, they've had their struggles as of late. Trevor Lawrence in the concussion protocol. They'll monitor him. He may play in this game against Tampa Bay, but Jacksonville, they couldn't get anything going on the offensive side against the Baltimore Ravens, losing in that tough one on Sunday night. And then the week before that, losing to the Cleveland Browns in a tough game. And then the week before that, losing in overtime to the Cincinnati Bengals. So the Jaguars are having their growing pains right now. As I stated earlier, quarterback Trevor Lawrence is in the concussion protocol. As for the Buccaneers, they're on a roll right now. And the other two teams in their division, the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons, those two teams have a chance to win the NFC South. Well, you can add the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to that list as well. The Bucs, they're currently the first place leaders in the NFC South, as this show is airing, and they control their own destiny right now. Because again, they've beaten New Orleans this year. They've also beaten Atlanta this year. So right now, the Buccaneers are in a great place right now. So they have an opportunity to win the NFC South that could host a wild card playoff game. Very impressive beating the Green Bay Packers last week. And then the Buccaneers also they beat their division rival, the Atlanta Falcons, last week. And then the week before that, they would beat the Carolina Panthers. So Tampa Bay, they've got a lot going on for them. Defensively, they're playing solid. Offensively, they're looking great. How about Rashad White at the running back position? He's been good as of late. Also, you know what Mike Evans and Chris Godwin bring to the table. How about Baker Mayfield? Again, Baker Mayfield, I mentioned about Joe Flacco being a candidate for comeback player of the year. You can put Baker's name in there as well, because he's been balling, especially these last several games. So it's going to be a good one down in South Florida in Tampa with the Jacksonville Jaguars going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We have the Dallas Cowboys going up against the Miami Dolphins. First for the Cowboys. So the Cowboys were embarrassed by the Buffalo Bills last week. Dak Prescott had no answers on the offensive side to take down that Buffalo defense. Both sides of the ball just had no answers for the Buffalo Bills. And far as the Miami Dolphins are concerned, listen, the Dolphins, they dismantled the New York Jets. No Tyreek, no problem. Tua handled his business. Tua Tagovailoa, that is, handled his business, hooking up with Jalen Waddle. Of course, Raheem Mostert did his thing in the running game. Defensively, Miami was sharp. And Miami is riding a big high right now. And Dallas on Christmas Eve, they're going to have a tough time down in South Florida, down in Miami against the Dolphins. Tyreek Hill, there's a chance that he may play. We'll see what happens. But whether we have Tyreek or not, Tua Tagovailoa, he's got the weapons. He's got Jalen Waddle. He's got Raheem Mostert. He's got a nice supporting cast that is definitely not scared of Dallas's defense. Dallas, again, the soap opera that never ends. Micah Parsons during the week went on his podcast, said that people want the Dallas Cowboys to lose. They want Dallas to fail. And I don't know, as I stated earlier in the show, you play for an organization like that, when you have that star on that helmet, it calls for a lot, and you got to be prepared. If you don't know, now you know, in the words of the notorious B.I.G. And certainly Michael Parsons, he now knows that when you play for an organization, right, that You got to deliver week in and week out. And the Cowboys, they failed to deliver last week against the Buffalo Bills. They're going to have to deliver down in South Florida in Miami as we have the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Miami Dolphins. We have the Christmas Eve night game, the New England Patriots going up against the Denver Broncos. Let's start off for New England. New England, tough year for them. New England just, I don't know what more can you say about them. They had issues all year long at the quarterback position. They thought Mac Jones would be the one. He wasn't the one. Out goes Mac, in comes Bailey Zappi. There's been flashes, but nothing fancy. Far as running the ball is concerned, Ezekiel Elliott has been solid this year. Ramondre Stevenson has been hurt. And as far as defensively is concerned, the Patriots have had their problems. As far as the coaching situation is concerned, Bill Belichick, could this be his last year in Foxborough? We don't know. We don't know. It remains to be seen. But nevertheless, the New England Patriots will be playing on Christmas Eve against a team that had a very slow start, but picked it up as of late, had a winning streak going, but they got embarrassed last Saturday by the Detroit Lions, and that team is the Denver Broncos. You saw head coach Sean Payton not happy with Russell Wilson. Let's just say Sean gave him an earful. There were some choice words. I will not repeat that on this good show, but Denver, they're going to be playing on Christmas Eve night, and it's expected to be a rocking crowd in Denver. When is it not a rocking crowd in Denver, right? And certainly New England, they're out of the playoffs. They're out of playoff contention. Denver is still in the mix. Remember, Denver shares the same division with the Kansas City Chiefs. So there's a slight chance that Denver could possibly win the AFC West. Could possibly. If not, hey, they still have a chance to get a wild card spot. But Sean Payton, the Denver Broncos, I believe they're going to be more than ready for this game on Christmas Eve night between the New England Patriots and the Denver Broncos. Christmas Day games, the Las Vegas Raiders going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to start off with the Kansas City Chiefs for a moment. The Chiefs, they beat the New England Patriots. They did do that. However, here's the flip side to that. Chiefs receivers are still dropping passes. Patrick Mahomes, you saw him on the bench. You saw him angry. Kadarius Toney has continued to drop passes. There just hasn't been any consistency with the Chiefs receivers this year. We talked about the Philadelphia Eagles being a much different team this year. The Kansas City Chiefs are a much different team this year. I think this has a lot to do with Eric Bieniemy no longer being the offensive coordinator at the team. Say what you want about Eric. Eric had his guys ready. Discipline, no nonsense, and it made the difference last year. And since he was, for the long time that he was the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, now he's in Washington, and the focus is not there. The discipline is not there. Kadarius Toney continues to drop passes. Other Chiefs receivers are continuing to drop passes. They beat New England last week, but still no consistency when it comes to the wide receivers. So Patrick has his issues with his receivers. Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, listen, they've acknowledged it. They know the deal, and they're going to be ready on Christmas Day against their longtime rival, their AFC West rival, the Las Vegas Raiders. So for the Raiders, we've got, listen, the Raiders, they went rough shop last Thursday night against the Los Angeles Chargers. Antonio Pierce, I feel he should be the permanent head coach of that team. He's done a great job with them. Aiden O'Connell played well last week. And the Raiders, their playoff chances are very slim. They're still in the hunt, but it's going to be tough. They're going to have to win out, and they're going to need a lot of help. But this could be a stepping stone for next year. And I really believe that Antonio Pierce, as I stated earlier, should be the permanent head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. They got to give him a contract. But this is going to be a great game. I mean, listen, this is Christmas Day. Kansas City, Arrowhead Stadium, Las Vegas Raiders, Kansas City Chiefs. When you know about Raiders and Chiefs, classic rivalry game. So many great moments. So many great players have played in this rivalry. And the best is yet to come. Hopefully, Patrick Mahomes can get his Christmas wish and have his receivers not drop passes and they could maintain the game and try to win the game and get touchdowns. Or the Raiders may get their Christmas gift with Antonio Pierce, still the interim head coach, stealing a victory on Christmas Day instead of giving the Chiefs some nice gifts or maybe some Yuletide carols. They may give them a lump of coal. Who knows? But it should be a good game between the Raiders and the Chiefs. Continuing the Christmas Day action, we have the New York Giants going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. First for the Giants, the Giants got embarrassed last week by the New Orleans Saints. Saquon Barkley had nothing for the Saints defense. Tommy DeVito, their quarterback, was sacked 7 times. But this is still a feel-good story for the Giants. Tommy DeVito, in that short 3-game winning streak that he had the Giants on, it caught the eyes and ears of not only NFL fans, but football fans worldwide, specifically in the New York City metropolitan area and Giants, and with Giants fans as well. So Tommy's going to be playing on Christmas Day, going up against a team that is hungry and they are desperate. They've lost their last 3 games with the Philadelphia, and that is the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts, you know he's going to have it on his mind, right? Jason Kelce, you know he has it on his mind. Fletcher Cox, also Brandon Graham, the rest of the squad, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. They're not going to be playing in Philadelphia on this Christmas Day. Let's just say they're going to have the they're going to try to have the New York Giants saying bah humbug and give them a lump of coal instead of spreading some Yuletide carols for this game. So when you think of the Giants and the Eagles, New York City, Philadelphia, I-95, New Jersey Turnpike, this rivalry has been intense and is going to be intense on Christmas Day between Giants and the Eagles. Monday Night Football, the Christmas night game, the Baltimore Ravens going up against the San Francisco 49ers. First for Baltimore, impressive win over the Jacksonville Jaguars last Sunday night. And then the Ravens, the week before that, they beat the Los Angeles Rams in overtime, 37-31. So with the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, listen, what more can you say about Lamar, right? He's a dynamo, running the ball, throwing the ball, dynamic, electric as ever. He's my candidate for this year's league MVP. There's some great ones out there with Mr. Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey. And speaking of Purdy and McCaffrey, they'll be in this game too. And San Francisco, listen, the model of consistency all year long, offensively and defensively. Defensively, you've got some dogs with Fred Warner, Arik Armstead, Nick Bosa, D'Amador Lenore. The list goes on. And on the offensive side, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, and the two MVP candidates in San Francisco, Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey. So when I think about teams that are tough, teams that are consistent, and teams that can pull away and run away with their respective division titles and also the number one seeds, Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers. Christmas night, Monday Night Football, it's going to be exciting. All right, now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Baltimore Ravens going up against the San Francisco 49ers. These two teams have played each other only 7 times, but Baltimore leads the series 5-2. The first time these two teams played was on November the 17th of 1996. The 49ers beat the Ravens 38-20. And then they played each other again November 30th, 2003. Ravens would win 44-6. Then they played again October the 7th, 2007. Ravens beat the 49ers 9-7. Their next meeting was November 24th, 2011. Ravens beat the 49ers 16-6. Who could forget Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans, February 3rd, 2013. The Ravens beat the 49ers 34-31. Then they would meet again October 18, 2015. 49ers would win 25-20. And then their last meeting was December 1st, 2019. Ravens would beat the 49ers 20-17. So they haven't played each other a lot, but when they play each other, it's always close, it's always tight, and it's always festive, especially since 2007. Those games have been close. But to date, the most memorable game, as I stated earlier, Super Bowl 47, February 3rd, 2013, Ravens beating the 49ers 34-31. That was Ravens linebacker Ray Lewis's last game in the NFL. Also, that was Randy Moss's last game in the NFL. Randy played wide receiver for the 49ers. Also, Joe Flacco had an impressive game. He would go on to win Super Bowl MVP. Who could forget about the 100-yard kickoff return touchdown by Jacoby Jones, wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens? Oh, yeah. And who could forget about the halftime show with Beyonce getting a little help from Kelly Rowland and Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child? Oh, and who could forget about the power outage that lasted almost 35 minutes, right? So many great moments in that game, and I think we're going to have great moments in this game Christmas night with the Baltimore Ravens going up against the San Francisco 49ers. The MVP, the NFL regular season MVP, the most heralded trophy, probably next to the big one, next to the Lombardi, is probably the most sought after in professional football. And we're going to have MVP candidates playing in this one. Lamar Jackson, quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. Brock Purdy, quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. Christian McCaffrey, running back for the San Francisco 49ers. In a quarterback's league, Purdy and Jackson are the complete opposite. You have one quarterback that is dynamic, a game changer, one that can dazzle with his arms and his legs. You have another quarterback that's solid, efficient, one that relies more on the pass protection of his offensive line. They don't ask him to do too much, but when he does, he makes every play count. So when you got two talented quarterbacks like Lamar and Brock, sky is definitely the limit. And when you've got a nice supporting cast like these two teams that are so sound defensively, and two quality head coaches with John Harbaugh and Kyle Shanahan, you're destined for greatness. These two teams have great personnel. These two teams have great coaches. These two teams have been ran pretty well. And these two teams are also Super Bowl champions. They have the pedigree. They have the experience. And it's going to show in this game on Christmas night between the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I want to give you my picks on who I think will win Week 16's most important games in the NFL. Thursday night football, the New Orleans Saints versus the Los Angeles Rams. I like the Rams to win. The Cincinnati Bengals going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like Cincinnati to win. The Buffalo Bills going up against the Los Angeles Chargers. I like Buffalo to win. The Cleveland Browns going up against the Houston Texans. I like Cleveland to win. The Indianapolis Colts going up against the Atlanta Falcons. I like Indianapolis to win. The Seattle Seahawks going up against the Tennessee Titans. I like Seattle to win. The Detroit Lions going up against the Minnesota Vikings. I like Detroit to win. The Jacksonville Jaguars going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I like Tampa Bay to win. The Dallas Cowboys going up against the Miami Dolphins. I like Miami to win. The New England Patriots going up against the Denver Broncos. I like Denver to win. The Las Vegas Raiders going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. I like Kansas City to win. The New York Giants going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. I like the Eagles to bounce back. Monday Night Football, the Baltimore Ravens going up against the San Francisco 49ers. I like Baltimore to win. So again, my picks are LA Rams, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Cleveland, Indianapolis, Seattle, Detroit, Tampa Bay, Miami, Denver, Kansas City, Philadelphia, and Baltimore. And there you have it. That's going to do it for another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. Until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long. And on behalf of each and every one of us, I'd like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. Till next time, so long, everyone.
T-Mobile 5G home internet can leave you with slower speeds during its busiest hours. Why deal with that? Switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours. Visit cox.com/5G home to learn more.
Celebrating 25 years, Quality Concrete and Ascension Ready Mix Company, the foundation of Baton Rouge and surrounding areas. Quality Concrete has the expertise that's earned them the Quality Control Award from the National Ready Mix Concrete Association year after year. Whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, or municipal work, Quality Concrete is the one to trust. And remember, quality contractors use Quality Concrete. Call Quality Concrete at 225-677-7177 or visit goquality.com. That's GEAUXquality.com. For all your concrete needs, choose Quality Concrete, the number one concrete company in the nation for quality control for the fourth time by the NRMCA. Quality Concrete, an Ascension Ready Mix company, has poured over 7 million yards in Baton Rouge and surrounding areas. With 7 locations and the most modern fleet in the state, Quality Concrete is the best choice for residential, commercial, industrial, or municipal projects. Call 225-677-7177 to get a quote now, or visit goquality.com. That's GEAUX Quality. For all your concrete needs, choose Quality Concrete, the number one concrete company in the nation for quality control for the fourth time by the NRMCA. Quality Concrete, an Ascension Ready Mix company, has poured over 7 million yards in Baton Rouge and surrounding areas. With 7 locations and the most modern fleet in the state, Quality Concrete is the best choice for residential, commercial, industrial, or municipal projects. Call 225-677-7177 to get a quote now, or visit goquality.com. That's GEAUX Quality.com.
Hi, this is Joe Helm with Helm Paint and Decorating. Happy to announce our new 4 locations in Baton Rouge. We are new to Baton Rouge, but not new to paint. We are a family-run business with over 50 years' experience, assisting customers with the best quality Benjamin Moore paint, supplies, and design services. We also offer free, fast delivery and expert color matching. Call or stop by any of our locations on Perkins, Jones Creek, Highland, or Choctaw. Or shop us online at HelmPaint.com.
Helm Paint and Supply.
Helm, yeah.
Trying to get home to stream that highly anticipated series finale? Well, it may take longer with T-Mobile 5G home internet. You could be stuck with slower speeds during the busiest hours because you share your network with cell phone users. Why deal with that? Switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours. Plus, Cox offers free panoramic Wi-Fi equipment and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Why not switch? Visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion. T-Mobile 5G home internet can leave you with slower speeds during its busiest hours. Why deal with that? Switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours. Visit cox.com/5G home to learn more.